Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? You look good. Before we get started here, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given to us. Father, thank you for each and every person in this room, Lord, who's come to worship you and to glorify and honor you. And I just ask today that you would just speak through Nikki and I as we speak, that whatever you, you'd like to communicate through us, Lord, that you would do so. We just thank you for your love and for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So, here we are. So for those of you who don't know us, we're Matt and Nikki Walter, and we have spent the last about 15 months in Hong Kong as missionaries with an organization called Youth with a Mission, also known as YWAM. And just to give you a little history, a very brief history about YWAM, YWAM is about 50 years old, 50, and the base that we're at in Hong Kong is 35 years old. But YWAM has 1,100 locations in about 180 countries all over the world. YWAM does a lot of different things: training, mercy ministry, evangelism, and in a lot of different various forms. And YWAM, in our time with YWAM, we've been at the base in Hong Kong called YWAM Harbor City, which is outside of Hong Kong, on the north side. And we've done some evangelism into a big nation with a capital C. We've been in Hong Kong doing evangelism, and we've also been to Malaysia. In different teams, we've helped people kind of get started into missions. We lead worship about once a week over there at the base. We really dig into intercession and all sorts of different things, leading Bible studies, and so on and so forth. So there's really not a nutshell way that you can kind of visualize this ministry being, because it's branched out into a lot of different areas and a lot of different places. It has been a blast. It's been fun. It's been stretching. There's a lot of adjectives that I could come up with, but really rewarding and tiring at the same time. And we, Nikki and I, would not trade the last 15 months for anything. It was just awesome.
Yeah, and for a couple weeks leading up to our time here at home, we knew we'd have an opportunity to share with you guys in this setting. So we just started praying. Because we haven't been here for over a year, we don't really know where BV Cobb is at as a body of believers, what God's doing. So we prayed a lot, asking the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. And we just hope and pray that this really is what He wants us to share with you this morning. So the big thing we felt like God led us to is that you guys are people who are full of knowledge about who God is, which is awesome. Like, it was a really good thing. I feel like there are a lot of places where we don't have a lot of knowledge about God, but you guys, either you grew up in the church, or if you didn't and you're newer to the faith, here you've received awesome teaching on who God is and His plan for you and His love for you and His plan for this world even. And you know that God is good, that prayer is powerful, that Jesus saves, that the Holy Spirit is your comforter and guide, that you have hope of the greatest future, that God loves the lost just as He loves all of you, that you are called to lay down your wants and desires for His. You guys know all of that, but you also know when you look around at this world that it's not following God's principles, because you know God, and this doesn't line up. Political systems are flawed. The impoverished are still on the streets. Brokenness reigns in families. Education isn't maybe what it should be. We see these things. People are hated for skin color or religion or even sexual orientation. People hate each other over little things. And there are millions of people who don't know the saving power of Jesus Christ. You guys know. You all know. And that's Great. Thank you for not closing your eyes. Thank you for staying informed and aware of what's going on in this world. Thank you for reading your Bibles and knowing Scripture. Thank you for being learners. We need that in the body of Christ so much.
But that knowledge is really only the first step. And if you know me, many of you know me as an EMT here in Mifflinburg and in the state of Pennsylvania, and I have, you know, certain qualifications that I can do certain things. And sometimes we come upon a scene and it's a cardiac arrest, which means, you know, their heart has stopped. And you want to try to revive them. And so me having trained on, you know, different dummies at the ambulance station and different things, and having certain certificates to say that I can, you know, provide care for this person, if I were to stand around and not do anything, well, first of all, people that are going to be standing around are going to think that I'm a real jerk because I'm not helping this guy or lady out. And second, I could definitely get sued. I could get in legal trouble because of that. And it's the same way with this knowledge. If we know this knowledge about God, we don't live it out. Do we really believe it? Do we really trust this knowledge that God saves, and that we are equipped by the Holy Spirit to go and to preach? In 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked."
Yeah, this is really, this whole chapter, 1 John 2, is where we really felt God leading us for this time. And in this whole chapter, it says things like, "I'm not writing to you because you don't know. It's because you do know." And if you get a chance, read the chapter. We really felt God laying it on our hearts for this church. But yeah, I just love, it says, if you know him and you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. And it's quite harsh, right? It's kind of like, ugh, okay. But then the promise on the opposite end is awesome. If you keep his word, his love is perfected in you. Not just like, oh, whatever, cool, like they're kind of a nice person. His love is perfected in you. Oh, okay. Sorry, that's not in the script. Over this past year, we've encountered a lot of situations where we've had to choose. Do I follow what I know about God, or do I ignore it? And 9 times out of 10, we probably wouldn't have even known we were missing anything if we decided to ignore it. But we would have been missing miracles if we chose to ignore all that truth that we know about God. And for example, in my life, one thing I'm not so good at, this is one truth I really struggle with, in 1 Corinthians, where he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Well, that's true. I should be doing things I'm weak at all the time. But I normally shy away from that pretty hardcore. One example is I'm quite shy when I first meet people. I feel like I make things awkward. I'm not good at it. So I just avoid people I don't know. That's not okay. Who knows how many friendships and opportunities and conversations I'm missing because I'm operating out of my own fear, of my own insecurity. When Jesus, he says, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." So for me, I definitely don't always walk out in the knowledge that I have.
But we do have times when God's given us the grace to put into action put to action our knowledge, and there are also times when we can take it a step further and say that we were able to see the fruit right in front of us, and that's really faith building. And one of the things, and honestly one of the biggest things for me, is would be living as a volunteer, working on the mission field as a volunteer. Before Nikki and I started to raise support and different things back in 2013, I guess that was 2012, the end of 2012, we saw that, you know, the YWAM statistics that there are 18,000, roughly 18,000 volunteer workers with Youth with a Mission within our organization. And we're like, yeah, if they can do it, you know, we can do it, right? We can do it. And but it wasn't until we really started to dig in for us to really get the switch that as the God of our provider, that he would provide for us, because we could see that he was providing for other people, but then when it came to us, it was like, oh, now this is where that step of faith comes in. And we had to do that. And it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 24, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And we knew this, and so we just went for it. We just chose to be dependent on God and his, and just to see, you know, if he would pull through, and we were trusting and believing. And then it just burst forth. And, you know, I have to say, like, this congregation, like each and every one of you, like, is just absolutely phenomenal. Because if it weren't for you, we couldn't be over there. We couldn't be over in Hong Kong doing what we're doing. And, you know, it's absolutely incredible. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for that, because we took that step of faith, and the Lord used you to provide. I just want to thank you so much for the Lord's provision in you and through you. Thank you.
Yeah, and with it, it wasn't even just like we were just like making our bills barely. We were able to go to church every Sunday, which costs a lot of money. Well, not a lot, but a lot for us in Hong Kong, transport and all that. We were able to host our fellow missionaries to our house and make extra food for them, special food even from their culture, you know, just fun things like that. Even celebrate our birthdays and our anniversary. Not everybody can do that on the mission field, and we've been able to. So it's just really cool. Another testimony, another truth about who God is that we found ourselves in situations where we either walk it out or we ignore it is in the idea that Jesus heals. And it's all over the Gospels, but Matthew 4:23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So we know Jesus can heal. He heals every disease, like every disease in the area, he heals. So we believe that. It's scripture. And we've heard testimonies from other people. But really walking it out for us has been interesting. But one testimony, faith-building testimony. We, at Christmas time, our base sends out a team into the city to do dances and dramas and share the gospel and then talk to people and pray with people if they want. And at this one particular place, we did our program, and there was a really old lady sitting along the side with her middle-aged daughter. And I just remember seeing her and kind of, oh, cool, somebody should talk to her. So eventually I saw our translator with her talking like right next to her ear, like right there, having a conversation. And then before I knew it, they were praying. She was praying for her. So then we kind of went over, like, she's like, this 80-something-year-old woman just accepted Christ. How amazing. Praise the Lord. We were so excited. And, then she said, you know what? She is almost deaf, which is why she was talking right into her ear, and she clearly had cataracts on her eyes, very cloudy eyes. And we said, well, why don't we pray? And so we did. And there was a little group of us, and we just stood there and we prayed. And it's always scary because, I mean, she knew what we were doing. And what if God didn't heal her? Then what do we say? But we stand there and we pray, and little by little, our translator was right next to her ear, and she'd take one step back and she'd say, can you hear me in her language? And she'd say yes, and then we pray some more, and then she'd take another step back until she was a normal distance away, talking in a normal voice, and this woman could hear every word that she said. And then at the end of the day, we waved at her across the park as we were leaving, and she could see us out of her now unclouded eyes. This woman's first experience with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior was that he could heal her. Oh, it's just so good. So the next time I encounter a situation where somebody is hurt or sick, and we feel like God wants us to pray, of course, we're going to pray or ask God for healing. Because even if I pray to ask God for healing 100 times, and if it was that one woman who received healing, it was worth it. So that's one of them, yeah.
Something else that Jesus definitely calls us to is to share his gospel. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And I just want to share a quick story about when we were in the big nation with a capital C. We were in this city, and we go to these universities to try to find people that we can talk to, us English majors or other people, because we don't really know the language that well. My ministry partner and I, we usually go out in pairs. So my ministry partner and I were going out, and it was our last day of ministry in this city. And we hadn't really been able to share the gospel with many people. We were just kind of hanging out, and I'll tell you, that week I think I've shot more pool than I have in my entire life, just because we were just hanging out with the guys and just making friends and stuff. And so we got to this last day, and we were scheduled to meet my friend. He had called this one guy and said, "Hey, why don't you bring a friend to lunch and we'll go for lunch?" And so we went for lunch, and we felt like it was time that we could share the gospel with them. And so we shared, as we were sharing, like, you could just tell that they were so moved by the love and the compassion that God has for us. And when it came time to ask, you know, "Would you like Jesus to be your friend? Would you like a relationship with Jesus?" They were like, "Yeah, why wouldn't I want to? And so we led them in and into a prayer of salvation, and just were talking with them a little more. And the one guy said to me, "Matt, could I pray to God?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to do it now?" He's like, "Yeah, I want to do it right now." So this guy, 20 minutes a Christian, starts to pray. And the one line in his prayer just stuck out to me, and it always will. He said, "God, I believe in you, and I will always serve you as my one true God. I will serve no other gods." And I was just like, man, this guy's getting it already after 20 minutes of just talking with this guy and you know, and praying with him. He was already starting to hone in that, you know, I want to share this now. I want to share this. So it was really awesome.
Yeah. The next one is the truth we know is that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. There we go. John 14, 16 to 17, Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And so we know this, and I can't say I'm someone who feels the Holy Spirit a lot, so it's kind of something I believe by faith. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And what that means for us is that he's here to guide us and help us. That means I have to listen. It means I have to trust when he leads me. And that starts to get pretty scary sometimes. We were in that big nation with a C at the same university Matt was talking about. And before we went out for the first time to the university, we just, as a group, we prayed. Somebody, when they prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to show them who to talk to. They pictured a girl in a red and white striped sweater. And so we told everybody in the group, keep your eye out for the girl in the red and white striped sweater. And so my ministry partner and I went out, and we see her walking, like, down a trail. And we, like, it was like she was walking this way, and we, like, beeline toward her, like, oh, there she is, red and white stripes. And we just started a conversation. Even though she wasn't an English major, she spoke English so well. She was a senior about to graduate. Literally, we would be there when she was leaving the school. And we just started meeting with this wonderful girl. And eventually, we just kept praying for her. And we asked the Holy Spirit again, you know, what do you want for her? Just continue to pray. And he said about freedom, that she needs freedom. And so then we got to the day when we finally got to share the gospel with her from beginning to end. And at the end, she asked some questions, and she was excited. And she said, it sounds so, like, freedom. Like, she came up with the word. And there it was, that freedom word. And then she changed the subject, and we were like, oh, man, we didn't get to, like, invite yet. So the next day, we saw her, and we're like, okay, bring this up again. So my ministry partner, she said to her, so that thing we were talking about yesterday, like kind of trying to bring it up. And she's like, yes, I want to join you. Just like that. She's like, yes, I want to join you. We're like, oh, like you want to know Jesus. She's like, yeah, I want to know Jesus. So we stood there. It was raining. We were outside. She stood there with her umbrella. And so she asked, like, how do I do this? And we're like, well, you have to pray. She's like, how do you pray? And my ministry partner goes, like, you just stand here. So then our friend, she goes, okay. And just like she did. And we tried to explain that you didn't have to do this. But it was funny. So she prayed, and she accepted Jesus. And then especially because she's in that nation, she's going to a different city, so we can't set her up with the contact we know. We knew she needs to learn that she has the Holy Spirit and he will help her and guide her. She needs to know that. So we teach her. We call it in YWAM, hearing God's voice. We teach her to do that. She just sits and she listens. And eventually she just kind of like jumps. She's like, he just showed me the score I'm going to get on my paper that I get back later today, like her final paper. And we're like, oh, great. But she said it was an 80. And we're like, okay, I'll start praying it's an 80. And so then I texted her later that day, and I will never forget it. She texted, I asked, so what'd you get on your test and on your paper? And she texted back. She said, I got an 80. I'm going to believe in Jesus forever. How awesome, right? And then it really came down to the Holy Spirit empowering us, but then actually following him where he showed us to go. And then he then did the same thing for her that he did for us in leading us to her. So yeah, oh, that's a good one. I like that one a lot.
That is a good one. Another truth that we were able to really, put into practice was service. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And so the first month we spent in that big city, or in that big country with the sea. And then we moved to another nation, which is a predominantly Muslim nation by law, actually. So when we were there, we helped out with another YWAM base that was there, and we were able to just help them work alongside some of their ministries. And the one that I'm going to talk about is this ministry. It's a homeless center, and the homeless can just come and they can get showers and they can get, you know, cleaned up and get their clothes washed and get a meal and take a nap and just really, really awesome things. We were asking, like, after the set time that this was open, We were asking, some of the leaders were asking if we could help out in any way. And the manager said, yeah, you can clean the bathrooms. And we were like, okay, yeah, that's great. And we go into the bathroom, and it is long, long overdue for a bathroom cleaning. And it had to have been months. And just, it was really long overdue for a bathroom cleaning. And so we threw on some gloves and got the cleaner and the brushes, and we started. And we were cleaning and cleaning and cleaning, and it was probably clean for a whole hour. And then something really, really cool happened. One of the guys, one of the homeless men that was at the center, they were starting to filter out while we were cleaning the bathroom. And he came up to the bathroom, and we thought he was just going to use it and just leave. But he came in and put a pair of gloves on and got a brush and started scrubbing down the walls of the shower. And he just scrubbed and scrubbed for 30 minutes with us. And he was, it says in here to work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Man, that guy was, he was heartily scrubbing. I will say that. And afterwards, it was really cool because the next time we were there, the manager came up to us and said, after we had gone that the day prior, the man came up to him and said, I want to, because he was Islamic by law, a Muslim by law, and he said, I want to renounce Islam, and I want to follow Jesus. I want to get away from Islam. I want to try to get away as best I can, and I want to follow Jesus. He was just, it was so cool to see that he was that impacted by just us cleaning a bathroom for an hour, you know, something pretty small, really, and he just wanted to, he saw that, and he saw that we were serving, and he wanted to follow Jesus.
So kind of to finish up here, there's a guy named Evan Roberts who was a big part of the Welsh Revival, and there's a quote by him that talks about using what you know, and here it is. It's kind of this little list. It says, use the truth. Use what you read. Fix it in your mind. Act on it. Turn it into prayer. See that others get it. Apply it to your own life. Find out how much more light you need. Ask yourself, am I advancing? Am I acting up to what I know? And when I read that, that last line, am I acting up to what I know? I feel like it's a question that as people who really want to follow Jesus, we should be asking ourselves all the time. If I know all these wonderful things about God, am I acting up to them? And I know it can be, it's really tough at first. Like, for example, Matt knowing CPR and being able to use it on someone. I'm sure the first time, he says he even remembers his very first cardiac arrest. When you encounter a real person in a real situation and you have to take all that theory and put it into practice, it's scary. What if I mess up? What if I don't do this right? And especially in that situation, what if I mess up? But as you continue to walk in it, it becomes more and more and more natural, more of a part of who you are and what you're comfortable with. And God will always be pushing those limits of what you're comfortable with. They have to start somewhere. And I love this list. I think if you took one thing from that list and took one truth, like that truth you thought of earlier about who God is in worship, if you took that one thing, and I think if you did one of those things with it, it would start to transform your life. If you turned it into prayer, if you fixed it in your mind, if you saw that somebody else got it too, it would start to become more and more a part of your relationship with God. And I invite the praise team to come back up. And as we sing this last song, I know we don't sing this at BB Cobb, but you've probably heard it on the radio. But feel free to sit or stand or do whatever you need to do. And just take some time to reflect. Maybe use that one truth you thought of earlier in worship. That one thing you know, how can I act up to what I know? Even if it's one step. And if everybody in this room takes one step, as a body of Christ, we're going to start moving forward in incredible ways. And those faith-building stories might not happen right away. I really can't tell you how many times I've shared the gospel and they said no, or how many times I've prayed for healing and it's not happened. But again, for that one or two that it does happen for, it's worth it. And then that faith-building story will help you move on to do it again and again and again. So how can you individually take that truth and take one step towards acting up to it? Let's pray. Jesus, we acknowledge that we're really imperfect, that we often fail in acting up to what we know about you. But Jesus, you don't leave us that way. You give us the grace, the strength. Every day your grace is new. We can move forward. And God, I believe with all my heart that in this place are people that not only know you, but want to be walking with you. And God, if we as a body are able to walk further and further into acting the way that we know, this community can be transformed. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and give us new confidence, give us new strength, give us new vision and ideas for what you want us to do. And Lord, help us to not shrink back, but to step up, knowing that your grace is sufficient, Jesus. In your name.